Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm Tim Nelson from the WLUJ Great News Media Studios at 600 West Mason Street in Springfield. And here we are celebrating our 35th anniversary today. It was back on March 17th of 1987 that the station signed on the air. We're so thankful to God and those that he used, like Dick and Pat Van Zandt and so many others that helped get the station going back in 1987. And we're thankful to be here today. And thanks to so many that continue to pray for and financially support WLUJ and Great News Media. Well, today on the program, we'll hear from guests that were in the studio with Mark back on Tuesday. He had Dr. Edom Agama and his wife June Carol Agama in studio to talk about their book. Today, we'll hear a portion of a conversation I had with them recently where they tell us a little bit about how God has been working in their lives over these many years and how he continues to work. Dr. Agama currently serves in the Springfield area. We'll hear how God has worked in and through them by establishing a medical clinic and care facility in their home country of Ghana. The area didn't have any kind of healthcare facility like this before. When I spoke with Dr. Agama a few days ago, I asked him how it became clear that God was calling him to do this.
The turning point came when my eldest daughter was born in 1991. My parents got a chance to come to visit us to help us when we were in Evanston doing my residency. And my parents would talk about some of the challenges they faced. And they retired and now residing in a village called Agbozuma. And my dad would narrate stories of people getting sick in the night and coming to wake him up to take them to the nearest hospital, which was about 45 miles away. And when they go around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., they'll be asked to go to a different hospital. And at times when they go there, no patient would die. And again, my dad who said, you know, we need to do something. You know, you are going to, you know, school in America. Let's try and do something. I said, well, I can't do that. I mean, it's too much work. But my parents will not give up. And my mom will come to me and say, you know what? You are the one who went to school. You've been to America. And you're a Christian. And you pray, you know. What kind of Christian are you when you can't trust the Lord to guide you and equip you to do this work? And that, so I was really struck deep by why would my mom challenge me? My mom is the quiet type, but she was, you know, persuasive. And she told me that, you know, if I pray and ask God to guide me, he'll guide me. So that was a turning point in my life. And you know, I started thinking about how best to use my knowledge that I'm acquiring to help the people. But I wasn't quite committed until when my daughter was born. I was sharing, you know, the technology, I mean, the labor and delivery, all the, you know, the colorful ultrasound, you know, echocardiogram that you see. My parents didn't care so much about my excitement at all. So they just thought that I should think about the people back at home. So that was a turning point. And, you know, so when I came to do my specialization at the University of Chicago, I knew that I was going to do something to help the poor. I knew that my career would be incomplete without, you know, doing something to help the people where my parents lived. And then I will not be able to respond to my parents' challenge unless I seek the Lord's face. And so we praying about it. And so that was how we put together an organization called International Health and Development Network. And when I came to Springfield in 96, and the Lord opened the doors for us to meet the right people, you know, we were directed to the right church, Hope Evangelical Free Church. And the pastor, Bill Schroes, you know, liked us very much. They welcomed us. It's as if they had known each other for a long time. And we shared the vision, shared the idea, and they linked us with Mr. Dwayne Young, an attorney who, you know, understood the need, who understood the desire to serve and put together the organization called International Health and Development Network. So that was how we started. It wasn't like you woke up with a revelation. I said, look, go ahead and do it. And I said, no, I was reluctant because I didn't want us to fail. I didn't want us to, you know, do more than we can handle. And even that, I still had my doubts until it became clear that, you know, the Lord who has called you will equip you, will provide. And so that was a turning point. And, you know, I've had a lot of doubts on the way, you know, but the Lord provided my wife. She stood by me. And we have some very good friends, Vivian Dawkins, they stood by me. When we went to Ghana the first time in 96, I was so exhausted. I was so tired. I was very sick. They thought I was going to die because I was never sick, but for the first time they saw me, you know, lying very sick, you know, throwing up. And but then the Lord, you know, laid on their hand. They said, look, should encourage me. And they said, look, don't give up, because I was ready to give up. I said, I'm not coming back to Ghana again. I'm not coming back. They said, no, don't do that. They will be with me. And so that was a turning point, and that's how we got started under the mango tree.
June, how have you seen this personally impact the lives of people in Ghana, and sense how God may be working in all of this?
Oftentimes we read in the Bible about how God intervenes on behalf of his people. And I honestly think that God chose us to intervene on behalf of the people of Agbusma and Weta and a major part of the Volta region. Because when we arrived, like my husband said, there was nothing there. And God spoke to our heart that he wanted us to do something. And today, we have over 120 local Ghanaian employees at the hospital, which has a very thriving outpatient and 100-bed inpatient facility. That is unheard of. Because in that part of the world, you do not have the opportunity to have a first-class facility like the Lord has allowed us to build. And with people coming there, that most of them do not earn more than $2 a day. And to see how they are treated at the hospital is unbelievable. Because God cares for those people. And we, you know, we were able to build a facility that was first class, provide good quality health care for them. And I think that God is honored in that way. The staff members know that they are, when they come at the IHDN Mission Hospital, they need to be called by the Lord to serve the people. And every time we go back to Ghana, we remind them of what their mission is and what their calling is. We are serving people in the name of the Lord.
Dr. Agama, did you envision at first this to be a medical clinic to take care of people, then send them on their way home after the initial assistance? Because it's become such a much larger facility and more involved in that. From what I'm finding out about it, there are many that continue receiving care right there at your facility after the initial assistance.
Yeah, that's a very good question. As I mentioned initially, I was a reluctant servant because I didn't want to do something that would fail, because I didn't think that I was capable of doing, you know, things that involved a hospital. I didn't think so, because I've known hospitals are very expensive to run. They're very complex, demanding, and I just didn't think I could do that. So I had to overcome that, you know, fear of failure when my parents challenged me again and they gave away their house, their living room. My dad gave his living room as a clinic, and my mom gave her kitchen as a lab. My dad gave his library as a lying ward in their two-story house in the village. So that was quite, you know, transformative for me again. And we had a clinic that saw patients, you know, about 5,000 patients in their house until from 96 to, you know, to 2002, until the clinic closed down. And again, we were still committed to going to help. And so that allowed us to go to the villages. You know, there my parents live in a village, but there are suburbs of village which are sub villages. I mean, those villages are extremely poor. They live less than $1 a day. Where the biggest and the best building is a classroom, and so that allowed me to appreciate the depth of the poverty that exists in that part of the world. And so again, you know, I didn't believe in inpatient care at all until when the doctor we had left, and you know, we're still going to the village, and I told my wife, look, you know what, my parents have you know, done their part. They've given their house to us to do the clinic. If you're going to do this, you got to be very serious. We got to also do something similarly, if not more than what my parents have done. We have to give a lot of our resources, more of our resources than anybody else, to try and leap into this ministry, and so build a facility and give back my parents' house to them. That was the turning point. And we didn't think it was going to be a hospital. We wanted to be an urgent care, an outpatient facility, because of what I told you about the cost of inpatient facility, because I was still afraid of failure. And then so I said, look, we'll do something. People will come from their villages to their home and stay there and get care and go back home. But again, I was wrong, because we were, as my wife said, we were able to build this facility within 2 years, within 2006, and open 2008. But when we went back 2009, we saw a lot of patients who were seriously ill, who had been admitted into the consulting room and the outpatient setting. And it helped me understand that the image that we have in the U.S. when people don't want to stay in the hospital, that image doesn't apply in that part of the world. People are sick. They travel several miles away. They're very poor. They cannot have resources to go back to their homes, be taken care of. And if they have sepsis or they have dehydration, you got to keep them. You have to have a place to take care of them, unless they will be, you know, uncared for properly. So we, again, went back to the drawing board. I said, look, Lord, we just have to trust you. And hurriedly, we said, look, we got to expand, and we build an inpatient facility. And that was a turning point, which, again, I told you that we were not interested in doing that. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to be purely outpatient clinic. But then we were absolutely wrong. And we found that all the things that we said we're not going to do, we are doing it. Because the lives that we are saving is unbelievable. When we, you know, I mean, we've seen 37 to 40,000 patients a year. And the amount of people who are dying of stroke now have reduced, because they have uncontrolled high blood pressure in that part of the world. Almost 30% of the people to 35 have high blood pressure and die of stroke. And so we need to make a major impact on that.
Well, the people of Ghana are being blessed because of your obedience and your walk of faith and how God is working in and through you. So much ministry is going on.
We believe that he who called will equip. Our innermost desire and prayer is that the Lord will raise up men and women who will share the vision. And because we're getting old now, and we've been doing this for almost 26 years now.
Yeah,
yes. And so 26 years now. And I don't know whether we have 26 more years in our life to continue to do at the same speed, because we go to Ghana twice a year. So our prayer is the Lord will raise men and women who will see the need, the value of this ministry, and continue, because, you know, we do this on the side, part-time. You know, we don't have a full-time staff. You know, we do it, I call it, before the world, the word virtual became common. I mean, we had virtual, you know, we have a virtual office, we have virtual operation, you know, we assign, you know, tasks to people to do, you know, anywhere they can work, they can sit down and think and work. We assign tasks to people. And so we have a group of volunteers who have helped us.
God sure seems to be working in all of this, in the medical part, but there's so much more involved with connecting with people beyond the medical, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, you know, it's an answer to prayer, because, you know, like I said, I just wanted to do something with my life before I die, and afraid to fail, afraid not to do what needs to be done. But I want to honor God with my life. I want to be able to be obedient, but at the same time, being human, you know, not sure where God wants to and seeing what is possible. But, you know, on this journey, our faith has been strengthened. You know, I mean, we just thank God for everything. We've been encouraged in so many, because we've seen, you know, God doing so many things that we least expected. You know, God opened the door for us, you know, where you think your answers will come, the answers don't come from that direction. But God using people or situations where you least expect to open channels for you and say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making it happen, and we give him the glory. So that is exactly what we are. So we just thankful that, you know, at least we are alive. We can serve for his glory.
As we get ready to wrap up our time together today on Mark and Friends, June, you've got an invitation for everyone, don't you?
Everyone is cordially invited to our 9th IHDN annual fundraiser banquet. And it's called Bringing the World Together, because it's a fun time. We invite everyone to come, and it's held at Hope Church at 3000 Lenhart Road in Springfield, Illinois. This year is going to be held on a Friday night, June 24th, 2022. It's from 5:30 to 8:30. Come wear whatever ethnic or other clothing that you like to show off. We're going to have a fashion show. We're going to have live entertainment. We're going to have sumptuous food. Food like you've never had before. And we're going to enjoy each other. We're going to enjoy each other's culture, especially in this time when we are so divided. I want you to come and relax and have fun, where you can just understand each other, talk to each other, meet friends that you haven't had a chance to meet because of the pandemic. Now we have a chance to really rub shoulders together, enjoy one another, listen, dance, and just have a great time. And it's for all for a good service, or for a good cause. The price of the individual reservation is $100, and you can write off $70 of that is tax deductible. If you want to reserve a table, you can contact me at jcagama@aol.com, or you can call me on my cell phone at 217-415-1414. It's a table of eight. And that will be $800, and $560 of that is tax deductible.
And then in addition to that, we're going to have a summary video of what we're doing. We're actually raising money to support, you know, new development projects. You know, we raising money to support the hospital. The hospital is in a very difficult as part of the country. And as you know, the world economy has changed. And it has affected Ghanaian economy. So inflation and everything, things are quite tough for the hospital. We want to raise money to support the hospital. We also want to raise money to build our infrastructure development. We are trying to reach out to a remote village with a women and children facility. In this village, women deliver babies at home and under unsterile and, you know, poor conditions, and some of these children don't make it. They die. Some of these women also die. And if the children die due to poor hygiene, when they get pregnant the next year and have, you know, babies who are born with cerebral palsy. So we want to have a clinic in that village, and that village is very distressed, you know, very remote village, and then have a facility where they can have a, you know, midwifery and childcare immunization in that village, and called Wagbato. So we have this fundraiser to support that. And we also have a facility that we put up together to do clinical laboratory care. You know, blood is very, very important in every part of the world, more so in that part of the world where people die of anemia from bleeding after childbirth, and they don't have blood. And we want to set up a blood bank and pathology lab where, you know, people with severe illnesses are not able to make a diagnosis, and they end up, you know, not having the funds to pay for pathology. We want to be able to set up a lab that we can and we can provide a diagnosis for them with the help of our pathology friends. So come over and support us and also get to meet some of our friends who have gone to Ghana with us.
Well, let me ask, how can our listeners pray for you today?
Prayer for us as individuals to press on and not to give up. You know, when one is doing this kind of work, you get weary sometimes. You wonder, oh, Lord, you know, we need your strength. So I pray that, I ask that you pray for us daily. Pray that the Lord would give us the strength to carry on, and pray that the Lord would provide the resources, both human and monetary resources for us to continue the work. Pray for protection of all the staff and the people who are working there. They're usually working under very difficult conditions. We just pray that they will be able to continue the vision and to really capture the vision and to be reminded of who they serve and why they're doing what they're doing.
I also want us to pray for God's name to be glorified, because throughout all this, we don't want to be seen as the people who build the hospital. We want to be seen as, you know, the vehicles, the instruments, you know, the, like I said, you know, when you have a big box delivered for Christmas present by the UPS man, you are very happy. Man, you thank the UPS man, but the UPS man is not the one who gave the gift. The giver of the gift gets the credit. So we are just like the UPS man and woman. We are, we deliver the goods because we've been given the heart, and we've been given the burden on our hearts. We've been given the opportunity to connect with people. We've got an opportunity to be able to have education. And so the giver of the gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to give him the glory. And that's what we want people to see. And then people will be drawn out to the Lord, because the Lord's name has to be shown and by what we do.
If you would like more information about what we've been talking about today on Mark and Friends, the International Health and Development Network, go online to ihdn.org. That's ihdn.org. Or call them at 217-415-1414. 217-415-1414. Thank you to our guests, Dr. Adem Agama and June Carol Agama, for their time today on the program. And join us back here again tomorrow for Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. or the replay at 7:32 p.m. from Great News Media.